still counting my blessings.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. Same awesome program, new time and place. Of Ignite Radio Live.
You are still with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder and still over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio.
Four.
Still, always, and forever for the Almighty. We declare it. We declare it. We declare it.
Yes.
We invite you to go more deeply with us into this great adventure at ilovemyfamily.us. Another declaration. ilovemyfamily.us. Which really is such a key component of our outreach and ministry is this Live It Gathering Guide, Image the Trinity, the heart of it, coming together to talk and to pray, to provide the tools to do that a little more easily with some guidance. So make the time. You know, it's hard to believe we have Lent upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. No, I love Lent. We can talk about that in a little bit.
I see where Joseph gets his musicality from.
Exactly.
Do the dun, dun, dun again.
Dun, 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 dun.
Nice.
Carve out that time. Put it on the calendar. What a great thing to commit to for your marriage, for your children, for your close friends if you are not in that situation. But we just really encourage you to use it. We certainly will be giving up things, right? And we should. Lent is a season of fasting and mortification, so
that's about embracing, right? About receiving.
Absolutely. But what are those proactive things that we can do to grow in relationship in the Lord? And what better way to do that in the context which He gives us to grow in holiness, our marriages and families? ilovemyfamily.us, especially.
On this Super Bowl weekend with the pro... I don't know, I'm kind of doing a spin on being proactive, you know, Super Bowl pros, right? Just a little spin on that, a little emphasis, the word pro in there. So our new time is Sunday, 8 p.m., along with our Saturday, 2 p.m. They're both going to be the same program on a weekend. We're kind of excited that they are going to inaugurate Ignite Us into a new week, if you will. But we're going to focus on this weekend, Sunday readings, as we get to the end of this program. But before we go further, because I want to riff. I like that new word. I like jazz. Love jazz. You know, one musician starts and the other kind of gets it. And
is that R-I-F or R-I-F-F?
Good question. Boy, now you got me.
Sorry.
I don't know. But anyways, you know, playing off one another. If you're a musician or just appreciate that. So I want to riff off of that. But let's do it on the other side of prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you've made us for yourself. You've made us for your indwelling Spirit. We're mindful that other things compete for our affections. We're mindful that the enemy is extremely jealous of us, and though he has no power because you are over all, can tempt us, distract us, seduce us. Make us aware, Lord, of those lies that are allowed around us that we can see and hear, and also those whispers that maybe are within us that we've inherited of old. We renounce them. We renounce the lies and whispers that speak to us of whom we are not. You made us for your indwelling Spirit. We want to receive that. And especially as many may be struggling with seasonal depression, Lord, we just pray that you awaken us to the bright, brilliant, beautiful, radiant light that is your holy presence warmly burning within our souls like a warm fire on a cold winter night. Just the hearth of our souls burn within it, Lord Jesus, and make us mindful that that is the truth of our nature if we would just receive you and say yes. And we do say yes in all this in your name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Steph, riffing off of the Live It Gathering Guide and the quintessential importance of personal connection. First of all, we're all yearning for it. Because we are the fabric of the Trinity, three persons woven into one another's lives. God made us of that very nature. We yearn for meaningful connection. We yearn to know and to be known. So we've been blessed last week to have a very special time with our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter, Magdalena. Colin and I had a little lunch together during that week, and we were discussing how even his generation in their 20s are yearning for meaningful connection and how social anxiety has become, if you will, a corresponding spinoff of the COVID pandemic, a spiritual malady. So it wasn't bad enough that people were physically struggling and the whole cloud of lies and deception and difficulty and all that happened. And certainly, you know, medical, physical problems that affected many people. Yes, the cloud still lingers in the form of social anxiety. We see it statistically in terms of young people in particular who are beset with depression, but very dynamic, extroverted, outgoing people who are accustomed to getting together with others. Dare I say, to forge meaningful friendships. Colin was explaining to me that many in his generation are yearning for that, but they're, you know, beset by clouds that are keeping them from doing it. And I thought, quite frankly, maybe that was something just happening among people we're familiar with, 40s, 50s, and 60-year-olds, because we do see it. We see people's commitments are far less strong of physical connection than they used to be 3-4 years ago. By that, I mean, people make a commitment, right? They're Evites or whatever. You invite them to something, and 1/3 who say they're committed don't show up. Or you have longer commitments of 6-7 weeks where you could rely upon at least them hitting 6 of them. Now it's kind of, sort of. So there's some kind of something in the air that's keeping people from meaningfully engaging in relational connections. I think part of it is definitely social anxiety. And again, Colin, my son-in-law, telling me that is really pervasive, even among 20-year-olds. And how can this not be something worthy of us praying about right now? I guess worthy to address, worthy of talking about, and maybe you're called to initiate. Maybe you're called to invite a friend into your home. Maybe you're called to go to pick your coffee house of choice or pub of choice and risk rejection. That may be one of the things Colin mentioned to me. You know, maybe people are afraid of inviting people to other things because they risk rejection. But risk it. Lean into it. And it maybe even begins right now thinking, who is that one person that you'd really like to connect with in a meaningful way beyond just a text? Now, that's a good spark, right? That's a good fire starter. Hey, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Is there a time next week we can get together? And to really recover in God's grace a sense of comfort of being human. See, this is under attack in this present culture that is trying to supplant human connection with virtual reality. You know, the enemy doesn't want us to have these meaningful, deep connections that edify us with awareness of who we are in Christ. The enemy wants to splinter that. The opposite of splinter is whole, W-H-O-L-E, or holy. So you think about it, to be whole is meaningful connection with one another, being whole in God. We image God in that meaningful connection. The opposite is splintering, staying disconnected, staying connected only through our digital stuff. Thinking that this appetite that we have for meaningful connection, for to be loved and to love, can be satisfied by YouTube or Netflix or fill in the blank, you know, and so we keep cycling through. Maybe many of us have gotten into the habit from the COVID era of cycling through with this deep yearning appetite, thinking it's going to be satisfied by cycling through another program after another program, and ask the question, is it truly fulfilling you? So, Steph, I want to throw this at you for your thoughts, but I do want to say this is one of the main reasons, the essence of our mission and ministry, by the way, because it should be in family. And the Live It Gathering Guide facilitates this, whether families or groups. It's very powerful. Just do what I say. But the Father Ricardo Rescue Project Home Edition is what has been playing out in our home and with others, gathering for these 9 weeks, consecutive weeks, to have some beverages in our case, just meaningful getting to know. Our group is maybe 18 people. It's bigger than I thought, but it's a group of maybe 8 or 9 20-somethings and then 8 or 9 40, 50, 60-somethings. So a group of 18, 19 meet every Monday. And just the delight of, you know, a flow of grace in real human connection that just brings us to life. As we're experiencing it now into the third week of this, and it's, of course, the centerpiece is the Holy Spirit, but played out through these magnificent videos by Father Ricardo. They're free, by the way, online. You could host this in your own home. Bring together one or two people and say, all right, let's just, you know, start this out. Come over Thursday. We'll watch the first one. So anyways, I just want to proclaim any of you right now, as I'm fire hosing, as usual, my wife is beautiful little smile on the other side. We yearn for connection. We yearn to be known and to know. And maybe we're the ones who are meant to initiate this.
For sure. And what stood out to me listening to Love was, you know, just the whole, those meaningful conversations that can spark so much, you know, just to, because you never know how the Lord's going to use them, right? Whether it's to encourage or console or really give a greater sense of empathy in one's own heart in life. Mm. I know, you know, even while Annie and I were cleaning up the kitchen and doing dishes, just real heartfelt connection of some different things going on. And so just to make that time, make that, it's, I remember some of the best advice that your mom gave to us was, she said if she could do anything over again, she would have more eyeball to eyeball time, like on her bum, on the carpet with the little ones. And I think that's so true, even as they are older. And, you know, it's so easy to multitask, so to speak. And, you know, even if you feel like you're being attentive while you're doing something, nothing replaces that eye to eye, that gaze upon each other, which says so much, you know, to the listener, to the, you know, the other person as to what's really going on. And, you know, all the unverbalized things, the body language, as they say, or whatever, like you're saying, to invite, you know, we definitely have lost the art of friendship. We've lost the art of inviting, as Father Ricardo has talked about. But just like, why is that such a difficult thing? You know, oh, I don't have the time. Well, you know, and again, it's just so worth it. And what are we making time for? So I guess I encourage to, maybe it's another Lenten thing. You know, pick up the phone. It doesn't need to be lengthy. You can even start it out with, you know, I just have a few moments and just wanted you to hear my voice to let you know that you matter. I'm praying for you. Or how are you doing with the situation? Or, you know, even some fun thing that reminded you of this person. Hey, do you remember when? Or I was thinking about, or anything like that. And then, dare I go that extra level? Are you ready?
I'm ready, I think.
How about a handwritten note?
Ooh. Yes.
And I'm looking.
They need a cryptographer for me, though. They need somebody to decipher
true.
It.
God. But I just called you God. Greg. Wow. You have so many gifts.
It used to be good, though. And actually, if I took my time, I might be able to recover. But this is a lost art, a handwritten note. But keep going.
Yeah. So, but just, I mean, how many do we have that we've held on to from different people, family members, children, whatever? But just so meaningful, because it is nowadays that like total gesture of, I like, you matter enough for me to take that time. Right. So as I was thinking about that too, just a little story, I came across, this was a couple years ago, not that timing matters, but a little envelope that my mom, who passed away when I was five, she had written my name on it. And it was actually not, it was a, it sounds kind of silly now, or older listeners will remember this. Remember the wax paper baggies? So it was one of those that was folded over, and she had written my name, Stephanie, on it. And I remember being so struck by seeing my name in her writing.
How beautiful.
Now, certainly it's a little bit different because I never really knew her. So to see her writing, that she was thinking of me, that I don't know. It just really touched me. But even like now thinking, like as I look at different notes that have been sent to me, to us, again, that time, the words, but the name, right? The Lord calls us by name. Our identity is in our name. There's something so beautiful about that. We don't write that usually in our text. So again, maybe just a little encouragement if the Lord has perhaps, you know, brought that to your mind a little bit during this Lent to, you know, thank you notes or something to people, or notes of encouragement. Let this be an echo of that inspiration.
You sparked a memory that goes back to our early days in Heart and Soul. And by that, I mean before I brought it, if you will, to Erie and all of that, and it became a full-time mission and ministry, but it was anchored at Steubenville, and I had this team of 10, and we were evangelizing around the country. And we took a night, just spent an hour and a half, writing notes of encouragement, support to those whom we knew. You know, we were able to kick out maybe three or four letters each. But as you speak, which of us don't delight it, with all the junk we get of every kind of messaging and mail and everything else, and even form letters and whatever? You're right. I mean, think about how awesome it would be if you even just got the smallest note of authentic expression and some meaning behind it. So yes, yes, and yes. Segueing into another subject, and by the way, you're with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder, New time, Sunday, 8 p.m., shifting over from Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. We are now Sundays, 8 p.m., and Saturday, 2 p.m. IgniteRadioLive.com. I encourage you to get the app, actually, massimpact.us/app. But we are on all major podcast platforms. And encourage you to, you know, ring that bell, like it, share it, all that. Help us to continue to reach people. It would be very, very helpful to us. Spotify in particular, Ignite Radio Live podcast. So definitely go there and check it out. So, Steph, we're going to obviously finish here up here on some family stories. We're going to then address some consequential news issues from a faith perspective from CatholicVote.org. And we are going to conclude the apex with the good news discussing the gospel of this weekend. So one other point here in this part of our family stories is perhaps a cloud of, I alluded to this, depression lingering over people. It's a seasonal thing. One of our children told me, and I didn't really, hadn't heard this child pronounce this, said, you know, Dad, I have seasonal depression. And I said, well, describe that for me. Like, you know, it's not necessarily a diagnosed thing, but he said, oh, yeah, Mom knows it. And, you know, it means this, basically, you know, very much likes the sunlight and is affected when there's not sunlight and it's not a certain temperature. So whether it be that or something else, many people, right, hitting the end of January, going into February, it's into February. It can be kind of this lingering cloud that affects our emotions. So I'm going to read this, Steph, and then just for the benefit of your feedback, but this came out literally a couple hours ago. So I recall a very consequential homily by Father Michael Scanlon at Franciscan University. With great wisdom infused with humor, Father Mike raised the subject of how students were coming to him complaining that they're under spiritual attack. Of course, as one who in life shared some remarkable experience of very real battles with our enemy, he wasn't belittling them. But he did raise some questions in so many words. Quote, before you attribute your turmoil to the devil, I have to ask, how are you sleeping? Eating? Are you disciplining yourself to study well? Are you exercising? What is your moral life like? Have you had a good confession lately? Are you making meaningful time for prayer every day? Unquote. Now, of course, that was the sort of idea. You kind of get it. But I elaborated on this a little bit, kind of bringing it up to present day. Now I, as a parent, and I added, are you and your spouse praying together? Are you taking meaningful time together to talk about meaningful things? Are you setting goals and growing together? This is a big one that follows in a challenge. Are you disciplining your children so they're not unnecessarily draining every ounce of energy out of you day after day? You get the idea. As human beings, we will all suffer inner turmoil. Like a warning light on the dashboard of a car, are we recognizing the signal and what it's pointing to? Our first response ought to be a good inventory of our lives, followed by commitments. Are we sincerely attending to all the areas Father Mike suggested? Yes, it's possible your car is clunking down on the side of the road by some sinister supernatural power, but did you think to fill the tank? Have you kept up with the maintenance schedule? You get the idea. Now, on the subject of spiritual warfare, it is real. We are souls fashioned for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. While Satan has no real power over us, he can distract and tempt. First of all, let me proclaim, God has no rival. He has total dominion. He has Satan and his minions on a very tight leash, and he allows this for the purpose of our being forged in virtue, greater intimacy with himself, and only in him with others. Thus, look upon every inner tumult. I'm speaking to you, brothers and sisters, right now. I think the Spirit is saying this to us. Look upon every tumult as his invitation to ever greater intimacy with him, not simply in this moment, but with our lives as a way of life. Because when the veil of this earthly age is removed and we see things as they really are clearly, we'll see that we were made completely for a fulfillment that can only be found in him. And I conclude this with a little prayer, as I do often with these. Lord Jesus Christ, you made me completely for you. I renounce all that is not of you. Dwell anew within me, not just in this moment, but as a way of life. And again, you can check out that and other awesome posts, but gregorianrant.us.
So along those lines, also, again, praying for healing for those who truly struggle, especially with seasonal depression. We have some close friends where that's such a real thing, and I have such a heart, right? And we need to be a context of perhaps even being more attentive to inviting and connecting with face-to-face or voice-to-voice, right? Not just a text. And certainly prayer is powerful, but I need to be, you know, there's something about that action too, that extra step of being real presence, right? So our daughter and you, people who know me out there know that I'm so challenged when it comes to, so our daughter Grace on her Facebook page, so I tried to pull up a Facebook and it, yeah, you would laugh at me if you would have just saw me trying to access it.
Do you even know what Facebook is?
A little bit. So beautiful sharing
stuff.
Her struggle with some anxieties and such, and how exactly what Father Scanlon had said, she lists some things that she has been pretty public about, you know, working on, you know, exercising, eating better, sleeping better. All of those things really do play a part, you know, in our emotional well-being and health. And certainly even if there is spiritual attack mixed in with that, to be more of a ready warrior, yeah. Right? To battle it. But she starts it off that I just, again, you can call me the encourager today, I think, that I encourage you to really take to heart is the whole word gratitude. So, and just how she said when she started, when she began each day with the habit of everything that she could think of to be thankful for, to thank the Lord for, to give him praise for, from the littlest thing to the most obvious to the, you know, just to train her heart and mind and soul to lift it up in that way. And just how, you know, there is even the science, as we've talked about before, and she references a talk that she heard once, just that the whole, that's the same part of the brain, right? Of anxiety and gratitude, and they can't coexist, right? And so in those moments of struggle, and even before they come, just the practice of gratitude, you know, thank you, Lord, for, thank you, Lord, for, thank you, Jesus, thank you, you know, just to kind of set the tone of the day or the moment. And face it, there are days when, you know, we may need to do that every other minute, right? So many people deal with such heavy things. And as I'm starting a little fire hose here, just I was in the Kroger parking lot the other day and it was a window decal. And I wish I could remember the scripture verse. I know it was from Ephesians and I should take the time to look for it. It just referenced it. But what the wording said on the window decal was, watch God work. And then I had Ephesians, whatever. And I was like, yeah, Lord, you know, yes. Like, allow whatever the situation you're in, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you have anxiety in because of life circumstances or, you know, finances or relationship or frustration with the church or the government or whatever. The Lord is sovereign. And yes, he has the victory. And not only does he have the victory, he turns all things to good for those who love him. And where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So watch and see what he is doing and will continue to do in your life right now, whatever that circumstance is.
Marvelous. And if you want to see an article on this, I had written on the transforming power of gratitude derives from neuroscientist Glenn Fox. So even if you look up Glenn Fox, a really remarkable study that you refer to, Stephanie, that the same part of the brain that processes anxiety also corresponds to gratitude, and you can't have them both simultaneously. You can't simultaneously be anxious or have inner turmoil and have gratitude, which is why I think so blessed by Joseph's first song released with Sony Provident, I'm Counting My Blessings. And as you know, people tell us, oh, you know, heard Joseph's song, whatever part of the world, and he has a new song out. We're actually going to premiere that today. Stay. It just came out recently. I want to premiere that today. In fact, maybe in just a few moments, we'll do that before we get into the loop. Very powerful song. People will share, yeah, I heard this, and I'll say my prayer is, you know, more consequential to Steph and I than thousands or millions of people, which is the case. So 15 million people have heard this song. Great, wonderful, great. I'd rather have one person experience the transforming power, the habit of heart and mind, of turning our hearts to God and giving Him thanks. To me, that's the measure of success and really the power of a song. So, Steph, I didn't really plan on that, but I did actually think a while ago, let's do that. So let's shift to the premiere. I always like to say world premiere, but who Fake knows? Premiere of Joseph's second song with Sony Provident. It is called Stay, and here we go.
It's hard for me to admit it, but I'm not strong enough on my own. Wouldn't last but a minute, 'cause I'm not built to do this alone. And when you pull me close, it's like a light to my soul. Don't let me push you away. I need you, and I know as long as you stay, I'm gonna be okay. The wind can blow, but I won't break. No matter the pain, you never run away. And there's no world where I'm not safe. As long as you stay, I'm gonna be okay. As long as you stay. I tend to wonder, but all it takes is a whisper in your back here. I want our hearts to be tethered, so there's no moment you're not near. And when you hold me close, it's like a light to my soul.
So beautiful. I know he's our son, but just very powerful. Yeah. Obviously, there's something about music that truly speaks to the soul more than, you know, just words, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I've already heard different stories of people playing this and the Lord using it. One in particular was a young adult man whose mother was in the process of dying. Mm-hmm. And he kept playing this song over and over again. And in those couple days, she did pass. Oh. And he reached out, and just how healing and comforting and consoling the song was. And so we praise God for the ways that He uses our gifts, our music, our presence, all of those things. So many powerful lines. And I love that, obviously, with scripture, with different homilies, fill in the blank, music, it can be 20 different, 20 gazillion different situations. And the truth of the Lord's love still stands strong and still is applicable to it all. I love the line, you don't play hide and seek. Your love is always chasing me. Mm. How often do we listen to the whispers of the evil one that, you know, God's hiding from us, or, you know, is teasing us or isn't really there? And just the beautiful reminder in this song that we can do all things because the Lord is with us in our pain, in our joys. He never runs away. He's always there with us. And I love that reminder that it is so personal, so personal, so personal.
Truth, truth. Folks, you're tuned into Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder, new time, 8 p.m. on Sundays and Saturdays, 2 p.m. You can check us out always on the podcast, igniteradiolive.com, on all major podcast platforms. And our main theme here for this year is heaven come to earth. We really recognize just maybe a chasm between those of us who profess faith in Christ and not recognizing that it's meant to be experienced, lived, participated in this real world and all that is good of this world. And even in the challenges that God uses to mold us, we are now going to shift to the loop. Every week, we are wanting to address consequential news items that have an impact in our world. So they may not be, you know, very happy, slappy sorts of things, but guess what? Faith.
Happy, slappy.
Well, look at the cross. Faith is enduring the difficulty and the struggle and the challenges. It's dealing with the incomplete, and there's a mystery there, right? Why doesn't God just hand us this complete, perfect state of bliss in heaven? There's a mystery in the dignity of incompleteness and brokenness and suffering. Because why? Because it summons us to God. It fosters a radical reliance on Christ himself. And that's the nature of the cross, which you're going to be entering into next week more completely. In fact, I'd even say a simple prayer that we've incorporated, particularly the last few years in our home. In so many words, it's, Lord, thank you for the struggles. Thank you for the incompleteness. Thank you for the misunderstandings. Thank you for the brokenness. Because in these things are your hand forging us for intimacy with you. So we want to turn again now to CatholicVote.org, The Loop, a great way to consume Catholic news from a Catholic perspective in about 3 or 4 minutes. They have little tidbits that we're going to read right now. We picked 7 over the last week. And if you want to click on the read part, there's a link to the fuller article. And so here we go. Number one, governors hold border briefing in Texas. This is from this past Monday. More than half of the 25 governors who have declared they stand with Texas in its confrontation of the Biden administration joined Republican Governor Greg Abbott at a public briefing in Eagle Pass, Texas, Sunday. Quote, 15 governors are on the ground to show our support, said New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. We stand with Texas on the front lines, protecting the safety and welfare of our citizens, unquote. Quick commentary, do the research. What's happening in the Texas borders and the dotted lines and the openness is directly connected to child trafficking. Not to mention egregious concerns with our economy and the capacity to provide for those in our roof. Yes, care about those overseas. Yes, care about those in the continent south of us. Yes, care for those in Mexico. But subsidiarity is an idea, thought, Catholic principle that we care first and foremost for those closest to us. And we have a Catholic Christian responsibility, not just right, a responsibility to defend that which to which we are entrusted. It's the reason we have locks on our doors. It's not a lack of faith. It's a prudence. It's a judiciousness. It's a justice. And that's playing out on the border south of us. Some may have that capacity to reach further and make that possible, but that is not our current situation. There is major concern now being expressed on both sides of the aisle about the impact that this is going to have on us in the United States. And do we not have enough problems here that, and this is not just, oh, you know, I just want to deal with my stuff. No, serious problems, fatherlessness, drugs, depression, all the things that we're dealing with. How about we focus on those first so we truly have a capacity to warmly welcome and love those beyond? That's my 2 cents. Steph.
Well, and also there is a system in place for them to do legally.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
to benefit from all those things. Okay, FBI deleted info on anti-Catholic memo. According to a group of 16 Republican senators, the FBI deleted records pertaining to its anti-Catholic memo after former agent and whistleblower Kyle Serafin leaked it a year ago. Quote, "Now we know that information related to the Richmond memo wasn't provided to Congress because the FBI deleted the records as soon as the incident became public," end quote. The senators wrote in a Wednesday letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray. We have to acknowledge the fact that as blessed as we are to have religious liberty and freedoms here in the United States, and I don't say that lightly, they are under attack. And in particular, toward Catholics.
100%.
Enough said.
Well, I just want to have to add to that and say, do your own research on how the current administration dealt with those who maybe violated, if you will, major laws. Could be Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all of that taking place. Violence at care centers where women are just lovingly cared for. Anybody who's pro-choice should support this choice. And the violence perpetrated at them. Find out how many of them have been sought out and persecuted versus nonviolent, those who are in front of abortuaries. And now in this case, of course, the incursion within Catholic ranks and weaponizing this administrative apparatus against Catholics because we're Catholic. And, you know, by the way, if you read what they've said, a lot of these officials and leaders about the Catholic Church, it's not just speculation. It's not conspiracy. There is an overt, explicit, intentional aggression against those who seek to live their Catholic faith.
So two things. You brought up a separate topic about the pregnancy aid centers, pregnancy care
centers. It's all connected.
For sure it is. But just to fill that out more in regards to the Catholic piece, there have been more vandalisms and desecrations in Catholic churches that have been almost completely ignored throughout the country under this administration. So just a reminder, too, to our listeners, we're not trying to get you all riled up for the sake of being riled up.
Truth.
But as we said the first time we went through some of these stories, you know, a couple episodes ago, it is one meant to inform you, but just as importantly, we need to be praying, you know, and certainly talking about these things and where we can, you know, call a senator, or whatever action we can take to help in different things, but to pray for these people. I love, as Greg mentioned earlier, we're doing the Father Ricardo series, right? Rescue, Rescue Project. He is... One thing that he drives home is that the enemy is the enemy, meaning Satan is Satan. That's who our enemy is. It's not this person or that person. And certainly they are can be deceived by the enemy and used by the enemy. But what we need to be praying against is the enemy, not the human being, not our brother and sister in Christ. So just to keep that focus, right, that we need to come on our knees and know that there is so much amidst all of these stories, or many of these stories, spiritual warfare going on. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to act on it, and we need to pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
100%. Number three, expert warns parents about sex ed videos. A newly released Planned Parenthood video teaches young people that virginity is a, quote, completely made up concept. I'll repeat that again. A newly released Planned Parenthood video teaches young people that virginity is a, quote, completely made up concept, a term that was, quote, created simply to control and shame people, mainly women, unquote. Monica Klein told Dr. Susan Berry in an interview for Catholic Vote that parents should talk to their kids about sex, quote, because if they don't, Planned Parenthood will, unquote. So much can be said about this, but if virginity is a made up concept, think about that. Virginity is a choice, a capacity to choose the good. If we're saying that that is not possible, are we not saying that we're slaves? And if we're slaves, if we're incapable of choosing for our good, what responsibility do we have to choose otherwise? Are we not really making an argument for child trafficking, for pornography, for rape? because it's made up. We don't have the power to have control over our lives, is what Planned Parenthood is saying. And by the way, it's a multi-$100 million business, maybe $1 billion business. People are making money off of this to sexualize children. And, you know, do your own search on the psychological effects of those who engage in sexual activity, breaking the latency period at a very young age. Most of us by now know the effects, because the first time children are seeing porn is as early as 9 years old. And the average consuming age is, I think, like something like, in, you know, it's the teens into the early 20s. This is severely splintering this capacity God gives us for intimacy with Him. And I think therein also in the positive note is the need for the Catholic Church, for us, for those who are living in not just this cold external place on the corner of whatever saint thus and such. Yes, God's there, body, blood, soul, and divinity, grace poured out. But marriages and families, to radiate the beauty, the goodness, the truth of self-mastery created in Christ as a capacity to give ourselves to one another, to be occasions of God's arms wide open. I do think that needs to be pronounced, because the aberrations, the brokenness that we see of all of this is by and large a result of people not seeing the goodness and the truth. And I mean among those who even profess Catholicism. There's a need to recover this beauty and joy and dignity. And of course, that's what we're about at Mass Impact Image Trinity. I love my family.us. Number four, Steph.
So this one is pretty rough, and I'm going to quote Father Ricardo again, because he's so quotable. We throw around the term good news, right? The good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, our good news, right? That what the Lord has done for us. And he really drives home the point also that in order for us to know how good the good news is, we need to know how horrific the bad news is. And I think some of these stories highlight that. Republican Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador prevailed as a federal district court judge dismissed, praise God, a challenge to his state's pro-life law brought by the Satanic Temple. The Satanic Temple, quote, claimed a constitutionally protected right for its female members to ceremonial abort their babies as part of a satanic ritual that involves the eerie invocation, "By my body, my blood, by my will, it is done," end quote.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't, there's nothing more to be said other than Lord have mercy.
Indeed. Let's just be mindful, though, that this is the heart of every attack on God's gift in humanity. It is not of God. It's of the enemy. It's of the enemy who hates us. And whether it's pronounced like this, this is just rearing its ugly head and showing us the root of it, the satanic root of all abortion. I might even say of us allowing unbridled lust, us not arresting this disordered desire within us. We all have disordered desires. The question is, do we legitimize them, or do we seek God's grace for them to be transformed? The root of that disordered desire that can result in abortion, not to mention infidelity and divorce and everything else, the root of that, the warping of that, the heart of that, as you said earlier, Steph, is an enemy, a preternatural enemy who knows us, whispers lies about our very nature, and merits our battle in the name of Jesus to come against him by the blood of the Lamb, that it would be outpoured, and that we would seek that transformation in this very moment, at this time in history, to avail our hearts and minds and renounce the work of the enemy. Heart, mind, body, and soul, you have no room, you have no authority. We evict you from the throne of our souls, from our marriages, from our families, from this country, and we beg the grace of God to flood us again in infusion of grace through his body and blood outpoured, that is, has dominion, that is powerful, that is authoritative, that can transform. Lord, help us to open our hearts and our minds to experience the infusion of your holy grace, to flood us, to overflow, to restore us to you. We ask in your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Number five lawmakers find the administration pressured Amazon to remove books. Amazon gave into pressure from the Biden administration to remove books with purported misinformation. Quotes. Internal emails accessed by House Republicans reveal House Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Jim Jordan, good guy from Ohio, noted that many of the books that the administration was allegedly concerned about expressed views dissenting from the president's response to, wait for it, Steph's favorite subject, the COVID virus.
La, 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 la.
So what do we got here in summary form? We have that there was substantially a major subterfuge. We know this now. It's not just a conspiracy thing. It's not just a Glenn Beck, Tucker Carlson, Kennedy thing, all of whom are flawed. They're infallible as you and me, but they communicated truths. We're discovering now, even in major mainstream media, the degree to which much that was said about the COVID virus, this is Greg speaking, by the way, was 100% false, 100% a subterfuge to benefit the juggernaut of media, major moneyed sorts of people, and absolutely resulted in horrific medical consequences. We're not dismissing that COVID was real. We're not dismissing that it had implications for health. I was in the hospital for a week, week and a half. We did discuss this in other radio programs at other times. We're acknowledging the degree to which the administration covered up, dismissed, weaponized in their partnerships with social media entities. And here we're saying through Amazon, weaponized its view against scientific verifiable truth. We heard the phrase, you know, the science. It's about the science. They're dismissing peer-approved scientific journals and manuals that discussed things as a basis for us to evaluate this. And that's pathetic. And by the way, this is not a Republican, Democrat thing. Anybody who's suppressing information that is for the good of our understanding ought to be called under the carpet.
Called out on the carpet.
There
we need
go.
To get them
under the carpet. Truth. Thank you. Thank you.
The carpet. So a little bit of good
vacuum the
good
carpet.
News.
Get out the Kirby. The spiritual Kirby.
That's right.
Another
Kirby's
subject, another time.
Friend.
It is. She's going to be buried with a Kirby.
It's a
26-year-old
Kirby. It has never
Kirby.
Treated you so well.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so a little bit of a shout out for Virginia bishops who rallied the faithful against assisted suicide. As legislation to legalize assisted suicide in Virginia quickly advances to floor debates in both the State House and Senate, bishops from the dioceses of Arlington and Richmond are calling on Catholics to protest the bills. Please contact your state senator and delegate, quote unquote, Bishops Michael Burbidge and Barry Nestout. Pardon me if that's not how you pronounce his name, wrote in a February 5th statement. So praise God, being out there on the front lines, rallying the faithful. Kudos, kudos, kudos.
And just have a little bit of awareness. The experts, you know, speak of assisted suicide as a gateway. Obviously, Paul the Sixth prophetic document, Humanae Vitae, Mother Teresa, an assault on any one part of life is an assault on all of life. You open the door to this and discover assisted suicide, as revealed in other countries, paves the way to involuntary suicide. Because there are pressures within Medicare, all those systems, if you will, that are making appraisals of your worth and value. You know, what is your state of health and is it worth spending money to keep you alive? And when those pressures exert themselves, particularly on the elderly and the vulnerable, they're making decisions that legalize or liberalize, if you will, decisions that allow their lives to be taken by others. It just happens. Do the research. It is a genuine concern that many are not familiar with. All right. Number seven, very good news. Abortion pill reversal saves baby girl. A Virginia woman shared the story of how a pregnancy resource center saved her unborn child's life after she had already taken a dose of an abortion-inducing drug. Caitlin Perry's youngest daughter, Aubrey, is now a healthy toddler. And as with all of these little tidbit stories, which you can find again at CatholicVote.org, The Loop, that one came Thursday, February 8th. Actually, it didn't. It was this past week. I pulled it to the top because I wanted it to be a positive end story. But you can find that. Look up Caitlin Perry and a beautiful story and click on the read and you can get the fuller story.
So real quick, we were blessed this past year to visit a pregnancy aid center called Waterleaf up in Illinois. That is a phenomenal gosh, I don't have the words. What they're doing to save babies and help women is remarkable. But they, Greg's brother and sister-in-law are very involved there. And it's literally directly right across the parking lot from one of the largest Planned Parenthood. I hate to even use the word clinic.
Abortuary.
In Illinois.
Killing center.
But they, so when we visited, they actually have a chapel there where we were blessed to participate in Mass. And it's so cool that the tabernacle is against the wall closest to Planned Parenthood. Mm. Talk about the power of prayer, right?
Indeed.
And knowing who the victor truly is. But talking to many of the nurses there, I was amazed as they shared the numbers, and I don't even remember, but I haven't thought about it much, but just the number of clients, the number of women who come in for reversals after they've taken the abortion pill. And so it's a whole new frontier in the pro-life work. And so again, something to really keep in prayer.
Folks, again, you are tuned into Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder, our theme of heaven come to earth, wanting to understand the nature of our mission here in this world, real struggles, real challenges, all occasions for us to come to God with radically relying on Him. The older I get, the more I realize how dependent I am on Him and His grace outpoured. It isn't just a moment. It's meant to be a way of life, an orientation of heart, mind, body, and soul. In fact, the greatest response I have to those who struggle with other orientations is the only orientation that matters is the one we all share, from sin to salvation in Jesus Christ. With that, we're going to turn to the final part of our program, going to the gospel from this weekend from Mark. A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged Him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, He stretched out His hand, touched Him, and said to Him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left Him immediately, and He was made clean. Then, warning Him sternly, He dismissed Him at once. He said to Him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to Him from everywhere. Where? The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And as with all of our questions at ilovemyfamily.us, our Live It Gathering Guide, great occasion for families and groups to gather together and experience an outpouring of grace to awaken to our nature in the Trinity. That's the purpose of the Live It Gathering Guide, a little commercial. The front-loaded question for all of these as we address them is, what struck you, challenged you, inspired you? What questions did it raise?
So, Greg, this gospel was also not that long ago during a weekday mass, I feel, or a similar story. And you're going to have to help jog my memory as you and I processed it. So what jumps out to me is just the heartache and horrific nature of leprosy, right? Mm-hmm. So they were completely removed from community, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the beginning of the show and throughout just the importance of presence, the importance of connection, the importance of the face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And so they were literally ostracized, right? And that also meant, in a much more real way than perhaps we would even begin to understand it now, that meant they couldn't worship at the temple, right? They couldn't, or in the synagogue. Like, they were cut off from their faith community. They were cut off from doing the things that they held so deeply in their Jewish faith. And so not only does that physical healing come, right? But Jesus restores that friendship in personhood with community. And so that's, I think, why He sends him. He says, go show yourself to the priest, that there's an order of things that you do, because that was part of the ritual, right? Like, it was the priest who could proclaim that he could come back and worship there and be part of the community again. And so there are things, and obviously he went and did his own thing, but there's a reason why, and I think this is what we had talked about. There's an order to things that we may or may not understand, that sometimes we let emotions get the most of us, the best of us, and we think we know better. And, well, why wouldn't I want to proclaim? But Jesus gave very clear instruction. And sometimes He knows, it always is. He knows best.
Beyond what makes sense to us.
Beyond what makes sense to us. So if you're struggling with something, you know, with the church or something in your life that you're being asked to do, or to trust that the Lord's order and design comes before our emotions, no matter how good we think they are.
So I'm going to conclude by pronouncing my part in context of tonight's program. We began by really talking about my conversation with my son-in-law here at our house and how there's a cloud lingering over many of us that's inordinate following COVID. You know, the physical thing was difficult enough, but many are experiencing social anxiety, and that part of them yearning for connection isn't going to be satisfied by just digital impulse thing after another. It's going to take a bit of audacity to invite a friend to connect with them more than just a text. Well, let's get together. So that was part of it. And then we talked about Father Mike Scanlon, those who are struggling with depression in any way, shape, or form. Certainly look at the physical decisions that we're making. Are we eating well, sleeping well, seeking forgiveness, prayer, all of that, but also acknowledging for many, this is a physical malady that is beyond them, it seems. And for them, just to know God's hand is in it, that you're not alone, that he is there with his arms, and he allows some of this challenge, spiritual warfare, even to happen to forge us for intimacy with him. We listened to a beautiful song by our son just released, Stay. Steph commented on that. We went into some of the consequential news items that we're dealing with from the Catholic loop, CatholicVote.org. Challenging things with the realization that, you know, if we want to know God's goodness, we have to be familiar with the battle, but know that God is in the midst of it. But some powerful news items of victory also. And then just concluded here in the gospel. So I just want to say, wrapping all of that up, right now in this moment, each of us have need. Each of us have something that's burning in our hearts. Each of us have something we would bring to Jesus if he was right in front of us. If we only had one thing to bring to him, what is that thing? And just hear him say to you, looking at you and aware of all that reality of our need, look, see him looking at you and simply saying, I do will it. Be made clean. I do will it.
Feel the stretch of his hand.
Right.
Be made clean. Feel him touching you.
100%.
He's a personal God who loves you.
So blessed to have you along the ride with us here at Ignite Radio Live. Check it out at igniteradiolive.com. Join us in the adventure by making the time, putting the flag in the sand with your family or group, doing the Live It Gathering Guide at ilovemyfamily.us. And you know, folks, this is 100% a response of faith for Steph and I, and so blessed by many of you who join us in this. We are in need. We're always in need, just bringing the reality, the petition before you, and asking for you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. So when you do go to ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. We'd be so grateful for your prayers and your financial support. Until next time, God bless you.
God, I'm still counting my blessings. Count that high.